Listen, America. Come closer. You in your home, and you speeding along the highways or riding the trains and skyways. Listen wherever you are. We bring you good news. Listen, America. We bring you good news. This afternoon, the National Broadcasting Company and the Women's National Emergency Committee, in cooperation with the Federal Office of Defense, Health, and Welfare Services, invite you to listen to the dramatic living newspaper of a nation on the march toward greater achievement, greater security through the health and strength of its people. Afternoon, Listen America presents as its guest one of radio's favorite daytime programs, Big Sister, the distinguished scientist of the United States Public Health Service, Dr. Floyd S. Goff, the motion picture star, Warren Williams, and the popular singer, Miss Irene Beasley. Our orchestra is conducted by Merle Kendrick, and now here is our master of ceremonies, the distinguished editor, writer, and news commentator, John B. Kennedy.
Good afternoon, all. Once again, we turn our spotlight on this America of ours. We silhouette the human, the living, the dynamic stories of a vital young America forging toward a brilliant tomorrow. A picture of America building the health, strength, and security of its future on a solid foundation of real achievement today. This is America triumphant. This is good news.
Good news from the farmers of America.
Food for Americans, food for the British, food in reserve for the hungry of Europe. That's the triple challenge that faces American farmers as they wind up the 1941 crop year and begin to plan for 1942. Not so long ago, Paul H. Appleby, Under Secretary of Agriculture, returned from England with facts and figures on the food situation. In a recent speech in Kansas City, he said,
"Every boatload of food we send to England reduces the time that will elapse before the democracies of the world triumph over Hitlerism. I brought back facts and figures. We must translate them into crates and cargo."
And to bring those facts and figures to the farmers of America, Secretary of Agriculture Wickard himself traveled thousands of miles, spoke at scores of farm meetings. In Memphis, he told the southern farmers what was wanted.
"We want 8% more dairy products next year than we had last year, and 5% more than we're going to produce this year."
And in Gloucester, Massachusetts,
"I think almost every farmer by now must know the story of the 1942 production goals for his nation, his state, his county, and his own farm."
Yes, the farmer knows. Listen, America, to the farmers.
Here, Cal, lend a hand to this sled.
All right, Jed.
So the county commissioner said to me, "Jed," he said, "you've got to grow more vegetables and get more milk out of your cows."
Yeah.
I said, fine, that's great. I don't know about the other fellows, but for me, well, here, hold this post.
Okay, Jed.
Yep. I said, "I'll grow your food. Plenty of food."
And so the farmers of America answer the call of freedom, producing in greater and greater quantities those foods vital to our health, strength, and security. The right food will keep us strong, and our strength will keep us free.
And next, good news from the field of science.
Here's exciting news from the headquarters of nutrition science, the laboratories where the search goes on night and day for new knowledge of what we need for health and strength. Today, we bring you exciting news of a discovery about one of the new vitamins, pantothenic acid. And our guest scientist, who is going to tell you all about it, is the distinguished biochemist of the National Institute of Health of the United States Public Health Service, Dr. Floyd E. Dobbs.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. I notice you kept using the word new in speaking of pantothenic acid. It's so new, in fact, that we haven't had much time to get acquainted with it, even in the laboratory.
Well, I see where only last week Dr. Roger Williams received the Chandler Medal of Columbia University for his work in identifying pantothenic acid. this new member of the B family of vitamins.
Yes, that discovery was announced only last year.
And I noticed that pentosinic is called the acid of life, necessary to all living creatures. Is that correct?
Well, Mr. Kennedy, it seems almost certain that pantothenic acid is not only necessary for life, but for the health of man. I have to put it this way, because we've experimented with pantothenic acid in animals, but not in man.
Well, what happens in the case of the animals, Dr. Dice, when they are deprived of pantothenic?
Nothing good, I assure you, Mr. Kennedy. Without this vitamin, young rats fail to grow. There often doesn't seem to be anything drastic the matter with them, but they die suddenly. When we make an autopsy, we find that there are hemorrhages in the adrenal glands, and that many of the cells there have been destroyed.
Well, I suppose the adrenal glands are responsible for the adrenaline that our bodies require.
Exactly. The adrenal glands form, store, and secrete several substances which are vitally necessary to the health of the body.
Well, can you give us an example, Doctor?
Adrenaline, for one. When we are frightened or angry, we need a quick access of energy for quick action. And adrenaline helps to make this energy available. Another vital substance secreted by the adrenals is cortisol, which has to do with regulating the salt balance of the body. When this balance is disturbed and the potassium level in the blood gets too high, that is dangerous.
Well, in your experimental animals, Dr. Dove, can you cure the condition originally brought about by starving them of pantothenic acid?
Yes, if we add pantothenic acid to their diet, provided our patients are not too far gone. The cells of the adrenal gland will then regenerate. And not only that, rats which get their pantothenic acid do not develop the disease condition of the adrenal.
Well, can we say then, Dr. Dove, the pantothenic acid is a protective factor of...
We interrupt this program to take you to the NBC newsroom.
From the NBC newsroom in New York, Honolulu. A naval engagement is in progress off Honolulu with at least one black enemy aircraft carrier in action against Pearl Harbor defenses. This bulletin from the NBC newsroom in New York.
Back to our programs now.
On the problem. But science, Mr. Kennedy, is not a question of what we hope, but of what we know. Fortunately, we can be sure that research as a whole will move forward steadily on the new ground of knowledge.
Thank you very much, Dr. Duff, for your contribution to the dramatic news of America on the March. From the halls of science, our living newspaper quickly switches the scene to the American home. And for a glimpse of everyday people putting the lessons of science into practice, we visit one of radio's best-known families, Big Sister.
Nettie Evans used to be much more of a problem to Big Sister than he is these days. But that was when Nettie was a kid. Now, Nettie's 16 and a man. Well, very close to being a man anyway. Nettie seemed to have something on his mind as he walked home this evening. Now he's just entering the house.
Is that you, Horace?
No, it's me, sir.
Oh, hello, Nettie.
Paul.
Paul, Dr. Baxter.
Hello there.
Why do you look so grim, Nettie?
Nothing. Excuse me a minute, sir. I want to make a telephone call. If there's anything I hate, it's a liar.
What? Who's the liar, Nettie?
Pete Lynch, that's who.
What about him?
I'll tell you in a minute. Hello, Charlie. This is Nettie. Listen, I've got to ask you something. Were you near Dingman's farm this afternoon? He didn't go near the place, huh? Well, what do you know? I just met Pete Lynch. He told me a kid was walking on the thin ice on Dingman's farm this afternoon and fell in. And he saved his life. He said you saw him do it. No, that's all I want to know. Yeah. So long, Charlie.
Nettie, isn't Pete Lynch that boy with a bad leg who came here to see you last week?
That's right.
The one whose parents are divorced?
That's right, and he's the doggone as far as I ever saw in your life. Why, he told me...
Yes, dear, we heard that. He told you he saved someone's life.
Yeah, and it was a lie. Boy, tomorrow when we get to school, I'm going to prove to all the fellas what a liar he is. After that, he won't have a friend in the world.
Does he ever hurt people with his lies, Nettie?
Well, no, he doesn't hurt them. What good does it do him to lie? Well, it gets found out.
Nettie, I wish you wouldn't expose him before the other boys tomorrow.
Why not? Gee, sis, you're not sticking up for a liar, are you?
No. But I'm trying to get you to see that you ought to be sorry for him.
Sorry for him?
Mm-hmm.
Why, do you know what he told me last week?
Nettie, listen to me, dear. Pete Lynch is a boy who limps. He can't run the way the others can. Can't do the things the other boys do. It's been that way ever since he was an infant.
Well, what of it?
Let me finish, Nettie. 3 years ago, his father left home. And since then, his mother has had to support Pete and herself by sewing for other people. Pete's a sensitive boy who feels all these things keenly.
Sure, I know he's had a lot of tough breaks, but that doesn't mean it.
Don't you see why he tells these harmless lies, Nettie? Well,
what do you mean exactly, Ruth?
I mean that Pete's been deprived of a lot of things that other boys have, and that hurts. The ability to play the way other boys of his age can. Having a nice home. Pete misses all those things. Older people know how to do without things they want very much. But boys of Pete's age haven't learned how. Pete's been cheated, Nettie. And all these lies he tells, they're just an attempt to create a life he's never had. Pete feels a sense of shame because his father left home. He shouldn't feel that way, of course. But he does. He feels slighted and unimportant. That's why he tells these lies. To make himself important in his own eyes. To build up his self-esteem.
You know, I never thought of it that way. I mean, well, Pete isn't really a bad guy.
Of course he isn't. He's just a very unhappy boy. Nettie, why don't you ask Pete to have a talk with Dr. Bannister sometime? I'm sure Dr. Bannister wouldn't mind.
Well, not at all. I'd be glad to. Nettie, have you ever heard of mental hygiene?
Mental hygiene? What's that?
Well, that's for people who are confused and troubled and unhappy. A great many of the large hospitals have mental hygiene clinics. And it's especially important that more people know about them these days. After all, a man who has a burden on his mind is just as much a handicap to, well, let's say, our national defense program as a man with a broken leg.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean.
What Dr. Bannister means, Nettie, is that there are older people who have the same trouble Pete has. People who need friendly advice and can be turned into very useful and happy people with just a little understanding. While I think of it, what do you say we invite Pete over for dinner tomorrow?
Gee, that'd be a swell idea, Sid.
Your big sister has a lot of swell ideas. Don't you think so, Nettie?
Thank you, members of the cast of Big Sister. Thanks, too, to your sponsors, the makers of Rinso, for pointing up the importance of healthy thinking and the need for tolerance in our forward strides towards better health, better strength, better security.
Here is good news from America's first line of defense. The Navy's first line of defense is the health of its manpower. Last month, in Tacoma, Washington, Jess Warner of that city received an official order from Washington.
That's what it says, Mary, right here. Read it yourself. They want me back. They can't blame them, no, either. Times like these, good men are tough to get.
But, Pop.
But what?
You're not as young as you used to be.
Oh, shucks. Man's as young as he feels. I feel fine.
Pop, you're almost 80 years old.
Who says so? I'm just 77, my gosh. 77. Still got 3 years before I'm 80. Shucks, I can fight 80 admirals over the side before then. Don't stand there with your mouth open like a ventilated rat. Pack my duffel. I'm doing San Diego Friday for a physical exam.
For Warner, Jesse Warner.
Well, that's who you asked for, Doc, and that's who you got.
Your Warner?
Yes, sir. Chief Bosun's mate Warner retired. I guess they want me back.
Hmm. How old are you?
77.
Sit in the chair. I want to check your teeth.
Gee, you don't have to sit in the chair for that. There you are, Doc. Upper and lower. Don't figure you'll find any cavities in these teeth. I paid $95 for them, by gosh, and they're perfect.
Respiration 20. Blood pressure 130 over 85.
Hemoglobin 90%.
Pulse 80.
Say off.
Ah.
Okay, that does it.
Does what, Doc? In or out?
Here. Here's the report. Read it for yourself.
Fit for active duty at sea. Doc, you've said a mouthful.
of Tacoma, Washington, is wearing his heart on his sleeve. For his heart is the Navy, and the Navy has given him back his stripes. Sailing the seas along with Boatswain Jesse Warner are hundreds of thousands of other strong Americans, healthy men, keen and vigorous, alert for the split-second emergency that strikes without warning.
The boy submarine somewhere in the Atlantic. In the cool, black hours before dawn, Samuel F. Chiarelli, fireman first class, grips the handrail as he stands his watch. At exactly 11 minutes past two, a tremendous wave crashes over the deck.
Man overboard! Man overboard!
Man overboard! Man overboard!
Reverse the engines quickly.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Now get lines and hooks ready. I'm going over the side.
But Captain...
But be quick!
Aye, aye, sir.
Sam, just a gash on the chin. Keep that tape on.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Chiarelli, how do you feel?
Fine, sir. Thanks to you.
Oh, that's all right. I'll have Saunders take your watch.
Oh, no, sir. I'll take it myself. Why, that ducking just woke me up.
And at 2:30 a.m., less than an hour and a half after Samuel Chiarelli faced death in the wild Atlantic, the call came,
"Four watch. All's well."
And in West New York, New Jersey, some weeks later, a mother penned a few grateful lines to Secretary of the Navy, Frank Knox.
Thank God for the quick action and training of the commander or captain. To all mothers of America who have sons far away from home and in service, I would like to give assurances that their sons are well taken care of and that everything is done for them. I wish I could do more for my flag and country than by bombs and defense men. Gratefully, Mrs. Elizabeth Chiarelli.
So the Navy built its men, conscious of the fact that the strongest armor of the fleet is the health and strength of its men. Our spotlight today has swung across the face of America, picking out the big news, the good news, of America on the march toward better health, better strength, and better security. But wait, before you begin to sit back complacently, here's another side of the picture, a black side, but a true one. Listen, America, to the shocking bad news that proves that we as a nation have only begun the fight, that we are still far, far short of our goal. Listen, America.
From Thomas Farron, Surgeon General, U.S. Public Health Service.
More than 40% of the people of the United States are undernourished or malnourished.
Underscoring this statement is the statement of Joseph Hirsch, Specialist in Health Education of the United States Office of Education.
Despite the fact that the cure for scurvy has been known for hundreds of years, a recent outbreak was reported in one state.
From the NBC Newsroom.
From Washington, Secretary of War Henry L. Stimson today ordered the entire Army into uniform, effective tomorrow. His order applied to every one of the Army's 1,600,000, including the thousands of officers and men on duty in administrative posts in the War Department building who heretofore have been permitted to wear civilian clothes. And Norfolk, Virginia, Colonel to the War Department building who heretofore have been permitted to wear civilian clothes. Japanese nationals in this strategic naval center of Norfolk today, as soon as he learned of the Japanese attacks on the Japanese air attacks in the Pacific, requesting all officers and men attached to the district or vessels of the district to report to their stations or ships. And
when you go to buy wife for a family,
Susquehanna, Rear Admiral Charles A. Blakely of the 11th Naval District today issued orders shortly after announcement of the Japanese air attacks in the Pacific, requesting all officers and men attached to the district or vessels of the district to report to their stations or ships immediately. The district embraces Southern California from San Luis Obispo south to the Mexican border and all of Arizona and New Mexico. For the latest news on the Pacific situation, keep tuned to this station.
We return you now to our regularly scheduled programs.
gravies, sauces, or cheese. And here's something else. Very important and very simple that you can do. When you go to buy white bread, always ask for enriched bread. The American housewife, who values the health of her family, will certainly wish to take advantage of this. That word enriched means exactly what it says. Enriched with iron and B vitamins, the way your government wants it to be. And don't forget also that there are 7 basic foods, and you can get the right amounts of all of them if you will follow the 3 golden rules of nutrition, prepared for your guidance by the greatest nutrition scientist in the world.
Listen, America, to the substance of the 3 golden rules of nutrition.
Golden rule number 1.
The 7 basic foods for boy and health are milk, meat, seafood, eggs, green vegetables, fruit, and bread with adequate vitamins in it.
Golden rule number 2.
Every day, be sure your diet includes
a pint or more of milk,
enriched bread or flour, whole wheat bread or cereal,
a tomato, an orange, a grapefruit, or their juices, a big helping of green leafy vegetables,
a portion of eggs or lean meat
or seafood. These foods give you an abundant supply of vitamins, minerals, good proteins, and energy.
Golden rule number 3.
Then eat anything you like, unless, of course, your doctor has you on a special diet.
Yes, and we believe that if everybody would take to singing about right food, a lot of people would take to eating it. That's what Miss Irene Beasley, the composer of our official health song, believes too. And here she is to sing it for us today.
Finding good health to you, good health to you. For when you keep healthy, you're wise and you're wealthy. And say, here's how we spell health today. H means have vegetables, leafy and green. E is for eggs or for meat that is lean. While A is a change now and then if you wish. Instead of the egg or the meat, have fish. L is for liquid, for citrus fruit juices. A pint or more milk for the health it induces. While T's today's bread, enriched it must be. And H is this daily health motto. You see, so let all voices ring in buoyant chorus, sing till every ear has heard spell out this magic word to. And here's good health to you.
Thank you, Miss Beasley. Now stepping to our microphone is a tall, well-built, handsome gentleman. A man who's given us many hours of entertainment as we watch him track down crime and criminals in one of motion pictures' best-loved characterizations. Today he brings us his clues to the solution of the problem of better health and better strength. And here he is, the Lone Wolf himself, alias Warren Williams.
Thank you. And I do wish, Mr. Kennedy, that my screen deductions could be as simple as my theories are in this case. Malnutrition is a killer, no doubt about that. It stalks its prey with all the cunning of a tiger and strikes without warning.
What weapons do you use to combat this killer, Mr. Williams?
I try to use plain common sense. Hollywood is a favorite playground of bad health.
What?
Not the city, mind you, glory, no, but the people, the motion picture people in particular. They're constantly in a whirlwind, constantly working under pressure. Common sense calls for an antidote to this kind of pressure, a chance to restock the reservoir of energy. Well, the best way, of course, is by right eating, getting the proper food.
How right you are.
And this is important, too. I know, because in my case, it's been extremely effective. Along with good food, the body needs a chance to catch up with itself, wind up the spring, so to speak. In other words, recreation. For instance, I like to use my hands. I like to build anything.
Anything?
And on my little ranch in the San Fernando Valley outside of Hollywood.
From the NBC Newsroom in New York.
Yeah. London, Prime Minister Churchill and John G. Wynant, United States Ambassador to Britain, are conferring tonight. They met a short time after President Roosevelt's announcement that Japanese planes had attacked Hawaii and the Philippines. The British government previously had served notice that it would declare war on Japan within an hour of any such declaration by the United States. But there has been no declaration of war as yet. The Secretary of War has just announced that all military personnel on active duty is to appear Monday in uniform. For the latest news on the Pacific situation, keep tuned to this station.
back to our regular program.
Well, that's fine. Fruit juices are one of our seven basic foods, you know.
So I heard. That list was most interesting. I wish I could say that I have had them all on my diet, but honestly, one or two, never mind which, have been a bit absent from my dinner plate. But rest assured, Mr. Kennedy, that deficiency will be taken care of in the future. You see, the lone wolf has taught plain Warren William a number of good lessons. One is this. Never attempt to corner a killer until you know his methods, his habits, his weaknesses. So I'm going to take advantage of all your clues, all of them, in my own personal search for better health. It's the biggest case I've ever handled.
Thank you, Warren William, for your very pertinent remarks and for an interesting sidelight on the whole problem of better living. And I think you'll all agree that the news on Listen America today has highlighted the spirit of determination and courage that has always been a part of the American tradition. And for the thousands of you listening today who join in this great national crusade, it's good news that doctors everywhere are in the vanguard. Listen America to a vitally important message from Washington sent just this week to 90,000 American physicians by Paul V. McNutt, Federal Security Agency Administrator and Director of Defense Health and Welfare Services. Quote, strong leadership in the campaign for improved nutrition must come from physicians. Your active support in your community is essential. Nutritious foods may well determine the effectiveness of the national defense. The people must understand. They look to you for guidance. This is John B. Kennedy, reminding you that the right foods mean a healthier, stronger, and more secure America.
Who would like to have a complete copy of the Golden Rules of Nutrition may obtain one by sending a self-addressed stamped envelope to Listen America, Radio City, New York. The National Broadcasting Company and the Women's National Emergency Committee invite you to be with us next Sunday at this same time for more good news of America on the March. Our noted guests will include the cast of the famous radio program Pepper Young's Family, the distinguished scientist Dr. Robert S. Goodhart, the popular radio singer B. Wayne, and the lovely screen star Joan Blondell. Listen America has been presented as a public service by NBC and the independent radio stations associated with the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
Mm-hmm.